This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Return the mailman.
Yes.
It's again. I'm joined by Andy Flanagan. He just got back. It's a cold day on the roof there.
It's fucking freezing.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about you today. I'm like walking
out
the
there.
Streets doing that. Yeah.
I walking the streets of my job.
Yeah. You know. Well, I think
street
about
walker.
Too,
they might
yeah.
call me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think about them too. I'm like, I actually did think about hookers today. You know, I was like. Because I was thinking about you out there on the job delivering mail. And all mailmen.
And that naturally makes you think of hookers.
And it made me think of hookers. I'm like, what is their job like today?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's a good day to be an indoor hooker.
It's a good day, yeah.
A very good day. So hopefully for all you hookers out there who are listening.
Poor streetwalkers.
Yeah, let's...
You got to get that indoor job.
So, Andy, it's a new year.
It is a new year.
Yeah, we've flipped
2014.
How do you feel about that? How did you feel about 2013?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It was okay.
Yeah, do you like those assessments at the end of the year where you start thinking about it and going, when did it stop recording? What is this blue thing?
Are you sure it stopped recording? Because the levels are still up.
Oh, it's still going.
Yep, it's still going.
It doesn't matter. They don't know. They don't know. We'll fix it in post. That's
fix
what
it
we
in
always
post.
Say.
It's time to pay the price.
Yeah, so do you do that assessment at the end of
the year-end assessment?
The year-end assessment. Do you really sit there and think about that and say, you know, how was this year?
No. I mean,
compared
I have...
to others?
Like, I've gone back over my life and thought, I've picked out years that were better or worse.
Yeah.
But I don't do it every, like, December 31st. I don't sit there and, like, come up with a...
Are you a birthday guy?
Pros and cons. No. I try not to think about that. I try not to think that another year is gone that I'll never get back.
Oh, yeah. See,
another year closer to the grave.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to actually try to reconcile that. Like, be like, well, I'm 33 now. And, well,
yeah.
And then I start going, well, you know what, though? Another 33 years. And then I go, wait a second. All right, well, the only good part about saying I'm 33 is the first 10 were, like, not real years.
Like, I'm not responsible for those years.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like, if those years sucked, that was my parents' fault.
It's really just the last 10 for me where it's, you know...
Where you felt fully functional.
Yeah,
and,
like, I felt functional enough where these are my problems that I made.
Yes.
But not quite... Yeah, not quite like they're all my problems. Going all the way back to like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like,
right.
I shouldn't have told my dad my mom was drinking. Maybe my family would have stayed together. Everything would have been different, Andy. That was a good year. I do think about it. I do think about it because I just kind of put it, like, it's an easy way to go. Like, up January to January, you know, like,
yeah,
winter to winter.
Yeah, it's a good place to...
it was a weird year that I ended up at the beginning of the year. If they were like, "Hey, are you going to be doing a podcast by the end of the year, or writing nonsense to go on your friend's website?" Like, I would have definitely said no.
Yeah,
I would have been like, "I don't think that's in my cards." There,
an unexpected year,
yeah.
Unexpected developments.
Yeah, and that's the lesson about New Year's and
what?
Looking back is you look back about the year and you go, oh, wow. A lot of weird things happened this year that led to other weird things that unexpectedly and you would have never have known. Like, as you go about your year, when you start the year, you think, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm planning this vacation, and I'm going here. And then all this other crap happens in between, and you kind of, when you look back on the year, you kind of start to go, wow, yeah, totally different than my expectations.
Yeah, that's true.
But still, it was my life, and I couldn't do anything about it because I'm not allowed to actually control my own life when it really comes down to it.
I'm not sure where you're coming with that.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you're a victim to fate.
Yes, okay.
As far as certain things, right. You know, like as far as like, well, remember that time that I got into I don't want to say a car accident because it's icy out there, but yes. Just those things, like those unexpected things that, well, then you have to adapt, and that's where your year was
yes.
adapting to this other thing. You know?
Right. You can't control what other people
yeah.
are doing
or
when
just,
things are going to happen.
Yeah, weather.
Yep.
You know, price
yeah.
of gold.
The price of gold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole thing I got going on.
I really
you
would be a totally different
it.
Person if I could control the price of gold.
Yes, you would be. Could you just imagine what your life would be like? You'd be scouring the earth for gold. And then, and like, controlling it. And selling it. If you could just control it.
Oh, I'd probably be retired. That'd be nice.
Well, no, because your whole life would be like...
About gold.
It would be about gold. You would be a gold member.
I was going to try to do the gold member voice, and then I decided it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, some impressions, Trezor. I mean, leave that to the Michael Myers and the Dan Carvey's of the world. They can do their impressions, Andy.
Those artisans.
Those artisans of the craft. Did you do anything fun for New Year?
I hung out at my parents' house, which is kind of a family tradition. My cousins were
like
in for
that.
Out of town. My sisters were in for out of town.
Well, they were in for the rest of the holidays as well, Kwanzaa, Boxing, Christmas, all that.
Some were, some weren't. New Year's is when pretty much everybody was there.
Wow, that's actually really awesome, though.
Yeah.
I like that. My
yeah,
family,
enjoyed it.
My family used to get together New Year's Day a lot. That
yeah.
was our big thing. We'd have dinner and then turn into Chinese food for dinner.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Well, it was, obviously. But, yeah, we don't do that anymore. Things just kind of, like, you know, just stopped being that way. I had to work on New Year's, both New Year's Eve until 9 and then New Year's Day at 3, so I didn't...
Good Lord.
Yeah, well, you know, that sucks, but you do what you can.
Gotta get that paycheck.
Gotta get that paper. That paper cheddar. Paper made out of cheddar, or whatever. Actually, I went to
our mutual friend.
Our mutual friend.
Mr. Rosero.
Justin Rosero, the Place to Be Nation godfather. For those, I'm assuming that everyone knows that he's also the host of PTB. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling Podcast.
The Place to Be Podcast.
Yes. Yeah, it was a fun time. It was a fun time. Well,
yeah.
I usually have fun there. You know?
Yeah, I generally have fun at his house.
Yeah, he's a good guy to be around, I guess. But the weird thing is, and I have this problem a lot.
Uh-huh.
And you walk in, as evidenced by the last, you know. No, actually, did I describe that? No.
No.
I might have. We'll get back to it.
Okay.
Did I describe that part? I described the last one, that party I went to that we got insane, right? When there was like...
I cannot remember if you did or not.
Let's.
I mean, I know
teaser.
You described it,
that's
but I don't remember if it was on the podcast.
That's a teaser right there.
All right, that's a teaser.
That's what that is. If we talked about it,
people are
going
to
be like, these fucking
more.
Idiots, man. They need to fucking pay attention and remember what they're talking about. Or if not, why should I?
Right.
Or are they going to say, that sounds like a cool story of
yep.
a house party gone awfully wrong.
Yes.
So, either way, yeah, good time at Justin's. Went there, made some food, lots of food.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, except the problem is, and I have this problem a lot, is that I get there at like 9:30, 9:40, because I get out of work, which would seem reasonable on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that sounds
but
like...
You get there, and people are already sort of...
In party mode.
They're kind of buzzed, and it's all
yes.
because of alcohol.
And it's all because.
It's all because of alcohol. Not one sober person there was acting the way that the people who have been drinking were acting. They weren't drunk, but they were still like... And people our age, unless
yeah.
they're like, you know, me or other... single folk who don't have or whatever, like they're not used to their alcohol. They don't do it a lot.
Oh,
so
you're saying we're past the age of alcohol abuse?
Well, it's not that we're past the age of alcohol abuse. That's time.
Of ritualized alcohol
abuse. Yeah, you can do it all the time. But people that are married and have kids, like most
right,
of the people
right.
at this party.
So you're saying they're lightweights?
They're lightweights. They can't. I don't think
they can't handle
they
themselves.
They can't do it like in the way that they used to. I think we see. I think I'm not saying Justin's a lightweight, you know,
nah.
Because he. I think he keeps it up enough during the year. There's enough man nights in the PTB man cave. Okay, where we do that, you know,
maintains a certain level of partying.
Yeah, but let's just say when I walked in that night, I must have been like 10. It would be like walking into the man cave after like a day of. A night of football. Let's say a night of football. Say we were there to specifically watch football and get drunk.
Uh-huh.
And you walked in.
At the end of that.
At the end of that. Or not really the end.
Imagine
but,
if you
like,
will.
In the middle.
Okay.
That's what this is like. You know that feeling.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, you know that feeling all the time. Duh. But for me, it's like starting to get like really, not really annoying. But just kind of like...
It's not easy to walk into a party
no.
where everyone else is partying and you're sober.
And I don't have it in me now, and I don't want to. I don't want to go in there and be like, I gotta
try to catch up. Yeah.
That's stupid.
No,
even
it's a
I'm
bad
Even though I'm drinking whiskey, but you know me, when I drink whiskey, I'm not like, shots,
right.
You know, it's like, I want to just sip this whiskey and, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm that guy.
You're enjoying your whiskey.
I'm that asshole.
You're that snob.
Yeah. I don't want rocks in my whiskey. I want to savor the taste.
Well, you're supposed to warm up whiskey. I know this.
Well, yes, it is supposed to be warm. I made that mistake actually a couple weeks ago. I ordered some scotch,
uh-huh.
But the waiter like totally surprised me. And there's a lot of stuff going on at the table, so I just said the scotch that I wanted, and
yeah.
I didn't say
neat
anything.
Or anything.
I didn't
else,
say neat or anything else. And it's like a 12-year age scotch that was like I think I paid like I don't even know. It was more than I would want to pay for alcohol.
Right.
And I got it watered down. I was pissed.
I'm angry on your behalf.
Oh, you should be. Everyone should be.
So anyway, you're hanging out with all these drunks, huh?
I'm out with all of these drunks, and it was just it's a fun time. But we as would happen on these sort of parties, you know, they break out the card games because that's what adults do now.
Is that what we do? I guess it is what we do.
Well, we do games like that.
Yeah.
If it's not drinking and something else.
People can't just sit and talk. They need something to distract them.
They do. They need topics. They need topics to tackle. You know, they need a little help.
Okay.
Especially to, you know.
A little social lubricant.
Yeah. And I find myself a lot of times in these situations where I don't know everyone. I was luckily
yeah,
to know
that's
everyone
true.
There today or the other day. Yeah, that's weird when you're walking.
It's rare that you know everybody when you walk in, or
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It is. It is rare, and also it's rare to it's weird to play like to not play games, but to sit around. If we were just to sit around a table and I didn't know some people. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know if like how do I don't know anything about this person, and
mm-hmm.
I feel like it would bore everyone else if
yes.
I just started asking them questions about like so how you doing? You know, it just
no. We've all been there. It's tough to find common ground with someone you don't know.
Yeah,
that's why they invented.
And that's why they invented games. This game in particular, though, the one that we played, is very popular again among. People our age,
uh-huh.
a little bit younger, a little bit older.
Okay.
Also heathens.
Heathens.
Cards Against Humanity. I don't know if you ever played that game.
We actually played that on New Year's.
Oh, I think
coincidence
everyone
did. Coincidence of coincidences.
I think everyone did.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a weird game because it kind of puts you on... Like, you don't know exactly... For those of you who haven't played it, pretty much they take a bunch of really offensive topics, off-color topics, of varying forms.
Yes.
Political.
That's a... Yes.
Cultural.
Cultural. Sexual.
Sexual. Bodily fluids.
Yeah. Scatological. Yeah.
A lot of scatological. And some questions... And the other thing is you get like a fill-in-the-blank or a question as a card that someone has to read out, and then everybody else has to submit their fill-in there with
yeah.
that card.
Yeah, I'm kind of wishing I'd read the rules more recently now so that we could tell.
Yeah, no, I mean, they can, you know, what they should do, they should go.
If you don't know how it works, go look it up.
Yeah, go look it up. You have the internet. You've got here. So I'm pretty sure you can get
there. We can
there.
Assume you have the resources.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
So they, you know, they Then they read them out, and everybody goes, "Ah, you're nasty." Everybody says that, and we all try to, and they pick what their favorite was without knowing. You're not supposed to know who submitted the card.
Right.
And you pick your favorite, and that person then gets a point to keep the card, the black card. And however many blacks you have at the end of this, you are a rich person.
The winner.
Yeah, you're the winner. Just like New Orleans in 1862.
Oh, Lord. That's not where I thought you were going.
What? Really?
No.
Come on. You were not playing that game right. I'll tell you that.
Well, I thought you were going to Katrina. When I hear New Orleans, I think Katrina. I don't think slavery automatically.
That's we're talking about collecting blacks.
Yes. I get it now.
Yeah. All right. So that's a game. Now, it was weird, though, because I love those things because I am offensive by nature. And for me, it's like, well, let's think of the most fucked up thing about, like, how to do this. Especially there's double ones and triple ones sometimes. You have to come up with... And that way, at one point...
Those are always the most fun.
I saved for, like, so many turns lumberjack fantasies and chainsaws for hands.
Nice.
Right? And for the moment that they might sync up, and it finally did.
Did it pay off?
Oh, it paid off big time.
That's awesome.
I got rewarded for my cleverness and my patience.
Oh, it's always so good to be rewarded.
It is. That's what life's about.
Chainsaw
reaping rewards.
Reaping rewards.
For our patience.
Yes.
But the other part that of the night, though, that kind of didn't sit right with me, which is what you would think would be all of this game that talked about, ripping people up and shit and cum and semen and date rape and stuff.
Right.
Okay, with someone got a card and like, oh, this shouldn't be here. No, not this. Yeah. I didn't sell that as much, but they were kind of like, they're not a square because they were into most of the other jokes,
This person you're not naming.
Oh, I don't name anyone. I don't name names, Andy.
Right.
I don't name names.
You named names.
He was a referee once, though.
He was a former referee. You can't just leave that.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. This young gentleman, who we are
both or lady. I said he. He could be a lady now. So, but he is a lady now.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
He is
transgendered. no, the card that he got rid of that he just didn't want.
So you're saying there was one card.
One card.
That he thought was so over the top.
So over the top.
That it was not even appropriate for this game.
Not even.
Where the whole point is to be as offensive as possible.
Where the whole name is a play on crimes against humanity.
Right.
And this card.
So what was this card that was so. Could not even be spoken of in play company.
You would think it'd be like 9/11, right? You think that's like the one that we're all like, nope. Okay, Virginia Tech Massacre.
Yeah.
And it just shocked me because I was like, well, we just laughed at, like, I actually submitted date rape for a while and you laughed at it.
Right.
Date rape is not funny. Like, it try as hard as people have tried to make it, it just isn't funny. It's hard to make it funny. I did it. I did it a little bit. A little bit.
You're such a great human being.
I
finally figured out how to make date rape funny.
I have, and I will make it funnier. we'll take this to the top. But he thought that this wasn't. And it's like, there's so many ways that you could have gone with Virginia Tech Massacre. I feel like after reading that, like things that didn't work out or... things you want to teach your kid about, the Virginia Tech Massacre. That's not really funny, but it works, and like at least, it would have been played, but instead this card got put back into the deck. And I think he actually might have removed it.
Yeah.
Like, so it couldn't end up being played, which is the really sad part, because after that, that's all I wanted to play.
Yeah.
It was the only card, for everyone, I was just like, Virginia Tech Massacre.
Oh, I know what you mean. You didn't say that, though?
No.
Yeah.
No, I let on like I was a real human being for most of the night. There was one, though, about like...
You pretended that you were nice and caring?
Yeah, one that was like, this was made easier by this. And the first one was like, scooping out a man's eyes and also scooping out his testicles and then putting his eyes where the holes where his testicles were, and his testicles where the holes where his eyes used to be. That was like the actual card.
That was a card?
Yeah, and it was made easier by double penetration. Disgusting.
I would have enjoyed that.
People just fucking holes randomly. That's my assumption. That's what the double penetration I was going for.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, no, I landed some good ones. I did what I could. Oh, there we go. No, still not. Why not? Eh, whatever. Yeah, so it was weird, and I just reminded me of the reason why I brought it up today though was because it reminded me of what we were talking about last week, essentially at the end, about things you can't make fun of, and
right,
it just
things that are off limits.
Things that are off limits. You know where I stand. Nothing should be off limit because I actually said that out loud. I was like, well, if you're taking that card out, you got to take them all out.
I agree with you.
And he didn't, but they just laughed and.
Yeah. Just
also, I'm drinking whiskey, so everybody's assuming that I'm like drunk or something. You know, it's like that's the assumption, but it's like I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but I haven't really been drinking all the whiskey.
So people were treating you like you were the drunk at the party.
Well, yeah. Well, no, not that I was drunk, but you know, it's a little stoned, so like there's that. People can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, my humor is a little off. There's this. Not quite following the game. We're getting all worked up about a 90s like singles countdown that was like tough. It's really Andy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable by EMF was number one. So
what?
Yeah. It was voted on too. That's the worst part.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's
horrible.
That's the worst thing I've heard all week.
Yeah. Because I'm like, that song's not even that good. It's not even that good.
All those songs in the 90s you have to choose from.
Yep.
Singles. Unbelievable.
Singles. You know, but still, it lost out to Good Vibrations by Marky Mark, which to me is the single greatest tragedy of the week.
Yeah.
By far.
That's rough.
Yeah. The year so far, actually.
The year so far?
The year so far. yeah, so that's what I've been doing this week, Andy. You know, just hanging out with friends and being offensive and not being able to be as offensive as I would like to.
Pushing people's boundaries.
Pushing
people. Finding out where the boundaries are.
Finding out where the boundaries are. Feeling it out. And I'll tell you, they are they're a lot closer than you think. I also went to Bonehead this week, obviously.
Okay.
That happens all the time. By the way, have you had the orange crush there?
Yeah, actually I have.
Did you have it bone-in or tender?
Tender.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing. I was like, this is just...
Well, when I had them, they were a little cold, but they were still good.
That sucks. They're good hot.
Yeah.
Good hot. Went there actually twice last weekend.
Did you?
Yeah. The second time was what me and Mark watching, Mark Mazenga, our foreign fan. We were watching football because he was in town and he doesn't get to watch the American football here. So, you know, just watching that. And
I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that. People who live in England. So I wish I could watch the American.
It's everything. It's like it's hard for them. They can't really get it. And then there's also like the time difference too that throws everything off.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad. That's why I went to Bonehead's. And but we got the orange crush with the barbecue that had like a cherry like aftertaste almost.
Really?
And mixing it up between the two was like.
Well then.
Yeah, it was a flavor explosion. just I felt like a little.
It was like a party in your mouth.
Yeah. Like, I was a pioneer in that place. the other night, though, was for the UFC event. I don't even know the number because I don't watch UFC.
Uh-huh.
I made a pact with myself a few years back. Like, I'd say about maybe five. Okay, well, it wasn't really a pact. It was like a decision. I was like, UFC is disgusting.
Okay.
Because I saw a man get, like, driven to the ground almost like he was being, like, not... What is it where you put your hands under, where the person is bending forward? And
the full Nelson, like that?
Like that, but from, like, you got their head between the legs.
Oh, yeah.
And you just kind of go down. It's not really a pile driver. It's not even a body slam. It's not a DDT.
I'm not sure what you're picturing here.
Like,
Regardless.
Like atom bomb, but instead of lifting up and dropping them, you just go down.
Okay.
Okay. I saw that happen accidentally in a match.
Okay.
When the guy's face hit the mat, it just like almost exploded.
Oh.
Because it was like both guys full force. They just like fell almost downward, with one guy being on top of the other and the other one being face down and just going into the mat. Got knocked out.
Right.
Face got completely messed up. And I just like, you know, I was like, it's too brutal. Or seeing someone's arm get like broken or you just, obviously that night, anybody who is,
who watched the other night,
on, what was that, Saturday, December 28th or whatever.
That's right.
The silver match. I see, that's the thing. I go to these things. Why would I go to this? If I'm already don't like UFC and that much, where I'm like sworn it off.
Okay? So why are you exposing
it? Why am I exposing it? It's because I care about my friends. And yes. I have my our good friend Justin.
Right.
And then also my sister was there, who I love. And I'm not going to be seeing them as much as I like to.
That's a good point.
Anymore. So I'm like, I really should make it out. What it's either that or I go home, I watch like stuff on the DVR. You know, like, that would have been cool too. Yep. I would have liked doing that, but.
That's true.
So I go there. I had to sneak in.
Really?
Because it was at capacity.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. So I had to, like, put X's on my hands to mark my hands to make it look like I pulled that trick. And because Boneheads isn't a bar that, like, a club, they fell over. Which is great.
I didn't know that trick could actually be pulled off. I'm so impressed.
It still can.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to sneak into the place.
So you snuck into that exclusive club, Boneheads.
Boneheads. And I'm just sitting there watching these matches, and I get struck by certain feelings. Okay, first of all, the first match I actually got to see only lasted like less than a minute.
Yeah.
And it ended where a knee to the face, that move, where he grabbed his knee, but the guy went to go grapple or strike, whatever.
Yeah.
His opponent grabbed his head from behind and jammed it into his own knee.
Right.
And therefore, knocking him pretty out.
Yeah.
Okay, but for the way they fell into the cage with the guy who did the knee striking, standing up, and the other guy basically falling over his knees, like into his lap almost. So what did he do? Because he had to? Because the guy was still kind of flailing a little bit, but it was clear that he was like dazed and like not really there. He starts taking his elbow and just jamming it down onto hitting the guy on the head from above.
Yeah.
Until they called it, which is about three hits. But after that first hit, it was clear the guy lost consciousness. Like, it was just like that. Like, it just. And I started. And I just went, like, well, that's depressing.
Uh-huh.
Like, watching that, like, that this is a job for them, and that these people are all here cheering.
Yeah.
Bloodthirsty in a way. It was unsettling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you like UFC?
I'm not a huge fan, but I don't generally have that
visceral reaction.
No. And I sometimes wonder what that says about me. I like seeing guys beat each other up, I'll admit it.
Well, that's what I've been wondering, what it says about everyone after I went during this match. And then the worst was the girls, Rousey and Tate.
Uh-huh.
Because of that show, or I'm assuming because of the show, there was, like, a lot of beef that was being, that seemed, like, a lot of backstory that I was unaware of that people seemed to be, like, tuned into.
Okay.
Like, everyone that was there was, like, cheering for Rousey, okay? And they were all, like, wicked into her and, like, hated the other girl.
Okay.
And then, like, stuff was said at the end, too, like, in their posts. Like, about, like, the, like some words were said that alluded to, like, her mom or something like that. And I had no idea what was going on, but everyone was into it. I'm like, okay, so they're into it because it's, like, a reality show. It's like wrestling to them.
Yeah,
except it's
true.
Real.
Yeah.
But what? Because of that, because they let that happen, they're actually rooting when one person gets on top of the other and starts just punching them in the face.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Not like wrestling. Like, actually just hitting them in the face in an attempt to make them give up, become dazed enough where they can, like, get a hold, or, you know, have the ref call. Like, I obviously didn't walk out. I stood there the whole time, right through Silva's massively horrible leg snapping, wrapping around the other leg. But I like I just really like I take and I had to bite my tongue too. That's the worst part. So I'm looking at all this and I just have to bite my tongue about it because everyone there is there for that reason. I snuck in to see it.
That's how badly
I snuck into this place to see this thing that I didn't care about. But they were all super into it. So like I couldn't really be talking about this out loud. Like why are these people so into this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It left me felt dirty that night. I did. I felt really dirty.
Well, here's something else that this makes me think of. I believe you are a fan of horror movies, correct?
Yes.
In which people are gruesomely murdered.
It's funny, I thought of all this already, but yeah, go on.
No, so I like those movies as well. And I wonder why... Obviously there's a difference, because that's obviously not real.
Yes.
It's fiction.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're exploring that part of you that reacts badly to seeing people...
Yes.
In pain.
Yeah, that's exactly what, to me, what horror movies are.
Yes.
But also being terrified. It's two. It's the,
yeah.
Watching the torture movies are, like, really, you do start to ask yourself, well, why am I doing this?
I actually saw one of those just the other day. I was watching Imprint. Have you ever seen that one?
Imprint, yeah. That's
that's some pretty impressive torture going on there. And I did find myself thinking, do I really enjoy this?
yeah, you do.
I did like the
reason why you end up enjoying it for me is also the fact that it is fake.
Because right.
The illusion, or the creation of the illusion,
uh-huh.
both softens the blow, but also it's become an impressive feat in itself.
It's yeah.
Like, wow. But that I thought that was really happening.
This kind of brings us back to Cards Against Humanity, where you're trying to be as offensive as possible.
Like the aristocrats.
And it is a feat. Yeah, like the aristocrats.
For those who don't know.
The game itself is to be as offensive as possible.
Yeah.
For its own reward. For no other reason.
Just for that. Just
not
in
the service of
art
or anything like that. It's just who can be the most offensive.
Yeah. It's bringing that sensibility of the aristocrats joke.
Yeah.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, see the documentary of the Aristocrats. It's amazing. It tells a story of this joke that comedians tell each other. And it's just trying to top each other and to be, like, super, super, super offensive. But, yeah, that is the point. And that horror movies are very similar. It's trying to see that. It's trying to get to that next level, almost, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But UFC is different because it's real. These people are actually training for this, and they are getting paid a lot of money to do it. A lot of money being made in general.
That's true.
Through this type of brutality.
But it's also fake at the same time. They're not literally fighting for their lives, even though they're...
Yeah.
It's like play fighting, although it's super serious and people's legs get broken and...
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Lives get altered, obviously.
It's super serious, their legs get broken, and they're trying to actually... They do want to, like...
But it's not literal Mortal Kombat.
No.
I shouldn't have said that because that just makes me think of the video game. But nobody's life is really lives are in danger.
Lives are in danger. These not just in
but
danger.
But this is not a survival thing.
In
this
danger
is a competition
in the long
thing.
Term.
Yes, true.
Their family is, and like you said, it's not a survival thing. Their family's not in danger.
Right.
Nothing like that. The only reason we got these people want to hit other people is because A, they enjoy hitting other people. When
right.
it really comes down to it, they wouldn't be doing the job if they didn't like it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You never thought about that.
They enjoy... That's especially when I saw, like... At first, when I saw, like, Kate and Rousey, I was like, oh, these are girls that just like to fight, you know, like, when they were in, like, high school. And I'm like, well, no, actually, Rousey's like a, you know, like a 10-time... Well, you know, like a massive judo champion.
Yeah.
And, like, in the Olympics. And both of them. And you're like, well, did they get it? Are they... Wouldn't they have been fighting other chicks if they weren't in judo and they weren't, like, centering it there?
Right.
You have to like that. If you're doing it.
You wrestled in high school. How did you feel about it?
It's wrestling, though. It's different.
I know it's different, but I'm saying... What do you think the attraction was? Was it just to have a sport to play?
Well, it's because my family put me in it.
Yeah.
Solo sports, I find, are good because no one else relies on me.
Okay.
Really, when it comes down to it. It's all me, you know, out there. And, there is that survival aspect, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
And is a rush, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I mean, yeah, that's really... I understand the sport of combat.
Uh-huh.
Like wrestling. Or I understand why people do it. But just the fact to take it to the level of bare knuckles, essentially. And, like, trying to get arm bars and choke people out and, like, you know, like to submit as opposed to, like, you know, wrestling where it's, like, the sole goal is to pin that back to the mat. It's just that's what I don't get. Like, I don't understand the mentality. Is it good that these people are doing UFC because they're not out there fighting other people?
I think you may be putting too much onto them in terms of just wanting to beat other people up. I think it's a step from wrestling into, like, is this,
well, how do you feel about boxing? They obviously did martial arts when they were, like, younger throughout their lives, you know, like a lot of people do. And then they took it, you know, that's what the way I was able, you know, like, really to think about it. So then they took it to the like, next level and they kept competing. And
What I remember of UFC back when it was, like, a kind of an underground DVD-only kind of thing.
Yeah.
Was that it was...
It was vicious.
Well, yeah, but I think, like, I felt like what they were trying to get at was what martial arts were superior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless that was just the way they were billing
it. It kind of... No, but it's also because people weren't training to be MMA fighters.
Right. They were just people who were into martial arts.
Yeah.
And then they agreed on a set of rules to fight each other.
Yeah. But now people are training as MMA fighters.
Right. So it's its own fighting style based on those rules.
Yeah, it's become its own thing. Yeah. So now you're competing in that. It's not like a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, you know, like he's that.
Right.
And then he's going to fight a striker. Right. You know what I mean? It's right. like no, they all know Jiu-Jitsu now.
Now they're all just shades of the same thing. Yeah. Right.
I don't know. You're right. I am probably thinking too much into it.
No, I don't mean to say it that way. I just think you're casting them in a worse light than I think the fighters really are. I think they're competition junkies, is what I would think. That's my impression, anyway. I haven't done deep psychological studies of any of these people.
Well, maybe you should start, Andy.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you really should.
As soon as that grant comes through, get right on that.
But it also made me think about, like, well, am I not a man because I am?
You think you're less of a man because you don't like people blooding each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I am. Like, I've been trying to figure that out. Like, because that's like, the general consensus of who is watching this was, like, other men who are mostly type A.
Okay.
And then women who are type A. It's, like, all type A personalities.
Yeah, that's true.
Just there, like, I could hear my sister screaming. Yeah. And well, she also does, like, kickboxing, so her world has become Muay Thai and all that stuff. Okay. But at the same time, it's like, oh my god, what are you screaming about? Oh, you're like, I feel like if I look back at there, like, it's just a bunch of people, like, with, like, their eyes, like, wide and foaming, like, that sort of thing. Like, just foaming at the mouth, like, staring at the TV, being like, yes! Finish him! Finish him!
Like Gladiator.
Yes. Yes. Very gladiatorial.
Yeah.
But then the other problem with that is it leads me to start thinking about everything as far as competition goes. And, you know, like the sadness I feel when I start thinking about, like, well, our society spends all this money and all this money to be made on, like, generally... nothing that matters, like UFC doesn't matter. It only matters in recording and remembering who's doing this fighting. But the only reason these people are fighting is because a shit ton of money is being made. So these people are ordering stuff, buying gear, doing this, they're selling advertising time because then they're popular, and it's all just to make money, which is cool because business is cool. But at the same time, what are we producing? What's the purpose of that business other than to show people getting beat up and make the cash? It's fucked up when you start thinking about it like that. But my brain always goes there.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm with you on this one.
No, most people aren't. Well, some people are, but they don't watch sports.
Okay.
You know that, but I do. Uh-huh. I do watch sports. You know, like I like watching football, soccer, baseball, hockey. Basketball sometimes. You know, like, I do get enjoyment out of it.
Yes.
Like, you're a huge sports fan.
Well, thank you.
Well, I would say we know each other. We've watched a lot of sports together.
That's true.
Like, we've been to baseball games.
Yes.
Together. We've watched many hours of football alone in Boneheads.
That's true.
I don't know. Like, are you?
I still... like sports, and I don't care who knows.
Yeah, nobody. Nobody's gonna persecute you for it, right? Except for me.
Yes, except for you.
Except for me. Because you're part of the problem.
I am part of the problem, it's true.
You buy tickets to sporting events. And your shirts. Your shirts with the logos and a license.
I know. Terrible.
Especially the NCAA ones.
Yes.
Crackhead baby basketball.
Crackhead baby basketball.
No, but the thing that I'm having, like, this, essentially, like, an identity crisis, like, currently, and the UFC...
Whether it's okay to like sports,
whether or not I like sports anymore. Like,
oh, yeah.
And whether I, like, because I just can't get around the aspects of it that, like, kind of sicken me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, the high salaries, where does that land on you, Andy? Do you just,
I am
like,
totally fine with those, actually.
You're totally fine with the high salaries?
Yeah, I am.
In all sports?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think that, you know, like, defensive ends in football, you're making more than, like, Alex Rodriguez? Because they're, like, suffering actual, like, brain damage.
Yeah, but I don't think they're...
bitch tits, you know?
They're not being paid for the damage it's doing to them. It's they're being paid for the rarity of their skills, which I find very interesting, actually.
Well, that is interesting. That's true. That's true. That's a good point. They're being paid for the rarity of their skills.
I think it's strange that... I think if you ask most fans, most of them would say that players make too much money, which I think is strange because, you know, for the most part, most people would say they're big fans of capitalism. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, most fans are. Most people would say that that's...
And I think you have pretty good overlap between sports fans and people who think that capitalism is great.
I definitely think that they're... The Venn diagram, that middle part is huge right there.
Right, but for some reason they don't... Those two... Well, I don't know what the word I'm
looking
for. Because
A, it affects us.
How does it affect us?
Because just like with the cable... Well, A, it affects all aspects of us. Sports are driving up the cost of cable.
Okay,
true. Because ESPN charges more to show football games. Especially because they have the NFL.
ESPN eats up a huge chunk of the fees paid by the cable company.
And they keep NFL Network, too.
Yes.
Their show.
Also true.
Jacks up the price of the cable for everyone because they haven't let us get the a la carte things yet.
True.
So until they let people just go, I'm never going to watch NFL Network or ESPN, specifically ESPN, because that's come standard on everyone's cable, people are going to always be overpaying for their cable if they don't like sports.
Yes, those people are getting screwed.
Yeah, those people are getting screwed. So it jacks it up there, but then also the high salaries for most athletes is jacking up the cost to go see those sporting events.
Well, that's the part I disagree with you on.
You don't think so?
The high salaries have nothing to do with how much money they charge. They charge what they can get out of us. And then the salaries rise to go up with that.
Really, you think so?
I think so. I think that's...
Well, you are the economics major there, so I'm going to take your word on that.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at, like...
Free markets!
I think that's... Yes. You threw me.
Should they do steroids too, then?
Yes, they should.
Oh, the free markets! They always win. Argument always wins.
The economic stuff I don't like about sports is that basically that the owners are able to get communities to pay for their stadiums.
That's horrible, yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they get to cry poor when they think that the players are making too much money when it's actually very...
Oh, they also get to threaten places that we're going to leave if you don't build another stadium. Like, there goes, oh, you're... Now you're making me even more angry, Andy. You're making this decision very easy.
The way I want to say this is that I don't understand why fans identify with owners when owners are, you know, the richest of the 1%.
Well, because because when the story's out about a player and a team trying to negotiate for money,
yes,
it's the players. The
I don't
one
know why
that ends up looking like
greedy. They get framed as greedy when
the
owners are much worse.
Yeah.
They should not be getting subsidized by the community. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. That's actually the most egregious thing. So
and they
all
act
wrong.
Like, you
they're
know,
all
they
all
come
wrong.
Up with this financial statement where their team is losing money on an annual basis. Meanwhile, the value of the team goes up much higher every year.
Yeah.
They act like they're bad investments, but you don't see guys selling many teams.
That's true. That's true, because everywhere you go in that area, you're always going to be selling shirts. Like, nobody's, like, abandoning their team completely. Maybe Jacksonville. Who knows?
Well, they should.
Right, yeah. They should.
If they still have a team. They haven't gone bankrupt yet.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's buying those tickets. Somebody's buying those jerseys.
Well, it's all changed because now so much of the money comes from the TV deal, and that's really
true.
Even between all the teams.
That's true, too.
Not so much in baseball.
Oh, that even makes me more angry. See, the more we start peeling back this onion, the more it stinks.
Well, that's pretty much the compromise I've come up with, because I try not to think about it too much.
And I can't help it, because so much of the rest of my life is based on, like, economics and, like, thinking about, like, this sort of things, that when I start getting down to it, I'd be like, well, if I hate the financial industry for, like,
yes.
what they do,
yes.
then why am I giving sports a pass?
Right.
When it's all the same concepts and greed that
everyone's
acting on the same greed.
It's almost worse.
It's almost worse. You're right.
It affects our lives less. They ruin our lives less than the financial industry does.
Yeah, but it's almost worse in, like, what they,
They're allowed to get away with so much more. Well, yeah, that's probably not even true.
Yeah, that's not even true either.
I wish I
was. But because people, nobody loves the financial industry except for people that are in the financial industry. Like,
there's no emotional attachment to it.
Yeah, yeah, but people love their team, so they're willing to do what it takes. Now, what did you think about the stories surrounding the first round of the playoffs here with the blackout rules?
Yes.
And what teams are the Green Bay?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this. Was this the playoffs or was this week 17 they were talking about?
I thought this was the playoffs.
Okay, well, let's verify one way or the other.
It doesn't matter. The whole point is
yes.
that they're going to, if they don't sell out.
Right. Then the local TV stations cannot carry the game. Right.
So in a way, the NFL is almost punishing, and the way it looks to me, punishing the fans.
I think that's true, yeah.
So why would we accept that? If we like football and we're, like, willing to watch it, the price of a game is ridiculous. Like,
true.
For a lot of people out there. Like, whenever I see people selling tickets at face value on Facebook, and I'm like, how much for one? Like, for that experience, especially for us in New England where it's freezing, it could be raining. It doesn't matter where you're living. The conditions could be horrible because that's what football is about. And yet, what? And you could see better on television and actually know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, and then it gets me mad. They're gonna punish a whole area because they're not willing to cough over the money. I'm pretty sure it was playoffs, Andy.
Okay.
I'm almost positive.
Well, my understanding of this rule is that they put it into place back when they were first working on airing football games on TV at all. And they had to talk the owners into it and say, fine, if you don't sell out all the tickets, we won't put it on TV. So people still have an incentive to go to the game.
But it's the playoffs!
Yes, I know.
It's the playoffs! And in Green Bay, it's going to be, like, deathly cold. It's, like, deathly cold this week.
It's true.
So why would they even... It just piles on all the rest of it for me. And I see this and I go, fuck the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't even want to watch it now. Peyton Manning can have his championship. If he can get by the Seahawks, I just don't. I feel it happening. It happens every year.
Feel what happening?
Like the pull away from sports.
Personal pull away from sports.
It like comes in waves. Like it happened to me years ago, like probably like 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just like I didn't even care anymore. Uh-huh. And then I just kind of a little bit more here and there. Especially as I became domesticated for a while, that somehow makes it easier. Like, you're just like, well, sports, okay.
Makes it easier to like sports.
To just like sports.
Yeah.
You need to have a thing, you know, the sports.
Yeah.
And it's on everywhere. Everywhere.
It's a good way to, like you were saying before, it's a good way to spend time with your friends. That's one of the biggest attractions.
Yeah, it really is. But at the same time, it's like I start to get angry about it. Baseball, too, has made it really bad because their steroid problem is like... It just it's like baseball looks bad the way they go after guys like Alex Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
But Alex Rodriguez is a horrible person.
I know. It's amazing the way they meet.
And then you start seeing people you know and you care about defending Alex Rodriguez based on because it's him pinned against this entity that they disagree with.
Yeah.
And you're just like, but Alex Rodriguez is a horrible person. And he did steroids. And he committed crimes. And he lied about it. And he like, jumped people on lists, like, where he's gotten a tremendous amount of hits. And his stats are crazy because he's been doing steroids for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
What? And he gets rewarded for it.
Well,
he's not rewarded for it. But a lot of these other guys that have tested negatively.
I'm always going to side with the individual over the unfair system, no matter how shitty that individual
is.
Here's
what I said to Mark Mazzanga the other day. You want to solve steroids in baseball? Well, he had one, which was you punish the team if one of your players gets caught.
That's a good start, yeah.
But then I was like, well, why not just make it where they have to take drug tests every day?
Yeah.
Every day. I'm like, you're not going to mask it every day. There's no way to... If you're drug testing on a daily basis, trying to get around that result is so much harder. I could be wrong. Someone could correct me, but I'm pretty sure they don't have it there to try to mask it if you're using it actively and being tested at the same time on a daily basis. And what would the argument be? The players' union won't let it happen.
That's true.
Because they know that guys are using steroids. How does a player union oppose something like something that would solve the problem?
I don't know if that would solve the problem. I think that would be one of the arguments the players union would make.
How would it not solve the problem? Wouldn't we know then?
Because part of the problem is you can't detect everything.
That's true.
There's this arms race between the people using drugs and people trying to catch it.
God. Do you see what's happening, Andy?
I know.
Do you see what happened?
No.
Sports.
Yeah.
It's like fueling a whole nother business
that
is also atrocious.
That's true.
That is only built on making athletes stronger and stronger every year until they're like, what? What's the end of all of this?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the end result of this arms race?
Like, are we going to, some people have proposed having a clean league and a dirty league. Are we going to get to that point sometime?
I'd be
out at that point. Yeah.
I'd be out well before. Because I feel it happening. But does it make me less of a man, though?
I don't know. Maybe that just makes you principled. I don't know.
Does it make me less masculine? I know it wouldn't make me less than a man. There's no taking
I don't think
that
so.
Away.
You're talking about your penis.
I'm talking about my penis. Of course. Hard not to.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time.
There's a microphone on,
you know,
it's like, my penis.
So does it make you less of a man to not like sports?
Yeah.
Is that
where do I fall on the masculine spectrum? That is, I can't grow facial hair.
Yeah,
I can't grow facial hair. So I'm already down there.
I'm with you on that one. It sucks.
I can't grow facial hair. I can't even really grow body hair that much. Like,
really?
There's never been hair on my chest, ever. And there probably never will be, which is sad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm already kind of like, I've got everything stacked against me where it's like I'm not masculine in that way. Plus...
traditional definitions of masculinity.
Now, but from what I'm reading, though...
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not to derail
you. No, go. Go for it.
Why the hell is liking sports a masculine thing?
Because guys do it.
Yeah.
Because guys are into sports. Because
Have
you ever been around... All right. When you're around... If you're not into sports...
Yeah.
Or you're not really following a sport or something like that, and you're around a bunch of... So, or say, like, I walk into a room. I'm dressed the way I am.
Okay.
Tighter than pants than, like, the loose pants or, like, even regular pants.
See, I would think that would make you fit in more, but maybe I'm...
Well, now...
But
now more, but in certain circles.
Right.
Like, people our age, and, like,
yes,
dudes,
people that grew up in the 90s.
Yeah, people that grew up in the 90s. Dudes that are, like, just, like... The boyfriends of the girls that I hear talk about their shitty boyfriends.
Okay.
They're like, my boyfriend, he never always quits his job, he does this, so, okay. He's, every time I meet said boyfriend, he's got fucking, like,
Jenkos.
Almost. like big cargo pants.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that. And he's wearing always sports gear. So it's like that, when you're ever in a position where like you're around people like that and you're not in sports, you're automatically it's like you're
viewed as less than. Yeah.
You're less than.
I've seen that happen. Yeah.
Especially less than a man. It's like less than a man.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And you gotta admit, when you find a girl that's like wicked into like football, like really into it, you kind of think, oh, that's weird. It's almost like she's a little dudish. Like it's almost like it's. I find that like, I don't know if they're overcompensating by getting even more into it than like, you know, like it's not enough to just be like, oh, I like the team, you know.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Either way.
I don't have much experience with women saying they like football. I can think of examples where I thought women were pretending to be interested in football to impress guys.
Will you ever be in, well, it's different. That. It's that. There is that too. But you ever been in a bar and you see like the girl that's like into him and just like, yeah, hell.
Yeah.
Like that, like they get really mad every time like, the ball passes there. They really get mad, more, you know, more angry than most. That's the other thing. I get angry about sports. You know, they do have that effect on me.
Uh-huh.
But I don't get like as like when things happen, as evidence this past fall where we had some, you know, stuff with our friends that had to do with sports and the World Series and football games that led to like, you know, some tension in our circle there. I'm sitting there going, why are you guys so, what's the big deal? You guys are being stupid. It's a fucking sporting event. Like,
yeah.
It really doesn't make a big, shouldn't have that much dent on your life.
It's weird. Sports is tough because I know there's a certain part of, I know a certain section of people who think it's fun to bust balls about sports.
Yeah, like teams. Like your teams doing bad.
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that some people take it too seriously.
That's true.
So, like, they're saying mean things to people who are going to, I don't know. I'm not explaining this well at all.
Well, no, we can name names here because they don't listen. that guy Jason.
Yes, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah,
yes.
Him. He busts people's balls about sports.
Like, he's picked up on the ball-busting part and thinks that that's the way people interact about sports.
Yeah.
But some of us feel very strongly about the results.
And you just don't want
to hear. So he's doing it in a playful way, and yet it makes me want to kill
him. I know. I see that, too. And that's the other part.
Like, he doesn't understand the emotional rage that comes up as a result.
Let me paint you a picture of a life without sports.
All right, show
you
me
never
Picasso.
Have to experience that ever again. Okay? You never have to experience seeing your team give up a lead and it just going downhill and you walking around angry. Okay, you don't have to experience getting booted from the playoffs early and then just like being like, well, what do I do? Should I watch the rest of the playoffs?
Like, what was the point of that whole
thing? What was the point of this whole season?
Yeah.
Oh, it got derailed because of an injury?
Yeah.
Because one guy got hurt? Why did that guy get... Wow, this game, a lot of people get hurt, like, badly. Huh.
No, I've asked myself this question. Why do I bother? It's true.
Well, the other thing is, too, football...
And the answer is that when it pays off so well.
It does.
But really, you're gonna be sad a lot more often than you're happy. That's the thing you sign up for.
It's true, sports. You do. You will be, the sadness will be there a lot of the times. Especially as a New England fan in the past decade, it's like, it's been so good.
Yeah.
But then the low points have been like crushing, you know? But then you start to realize that's going to be there after all these good teams are gone.
Yeah,
like,
the crushing will still stay around even when the winning doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll be feeling it and you'll be like, well, it's another poor season again. Wish Tom Brady was still alive. You know? Be thinking that.
Alright, anyway.
Yeah, well, hey, just wanted to take a few moments to remind you to head over to placetobenation.com for all of your entertainment needs of any variety. They've got sports entertainment, obviously, with a lot of great wrestling content from day to day. But they also have, some of you may not know, movies, music, and as well as other sports too, like football, college basketball, and I'm sure to be coming up a lot of baseball preview articles. So head on over to there, check it out, like things, share it on Facebook. Might as well like the site as it is, follow it on Twitter. Everything that you can possibly do on the internet. Do that at placetobenation.com. And that reminds me, actually, you can even order, head on over to the side, click on the link for Amazon, and, you know, whatever you're going to buy on Amazon, just buy it through that link and, you know, really help the site out. So, I guess we'll get back to the comments with me and Andy. I'm sure it's important. Probably not. Well, speaking of beards, Andy, in the 2013 Boston Red Sox World Champions. That's where I was thinking about the winning. I was like, this is a good year to go out. This is a good year to go out. I just experienced the Red Sox winning.
Oh, to go out.
Yeah, the Patriots are going to lose, but without Gronkowski. And yeah, it's going to be like, you know, kind of like, whoa. Yeah, but speaking of beards, facial hair is back, and so is body hair, okay?
Is that a fact?
I read this on MSN.
Well, then it must be true.
They only cover things that are true. They don't do the sensational stories. But they're saying that it's in a response to, like, the metrosexual.
The whole metrosexual.
Yeah, all of that. All that men.
How long ago was that? I want to say, like, 2005, but that's...
2003 was when Queer Eye came on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That long ago?
In 10 years. So in 10 years, we went...
So this was the 10-year anniversary of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and no one said anything to me?
Yeah, no. Andy, I don't want
to... I'm shaking my head for those of us.
He was shaking it. Very vigorously.
Not vigorously, but with great disdain.
Great disdain, you're right. You didn't have, like, your cheeks weren't, like, flapping around.
Right,
it was
right.
So vigorous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's back, and it's in a response to that, about men essentially taking machismo back.
Yeah.
And, again, it got me thinking, because I can't grow facial hair. Well, so that's machismo. I'm out on the outside of machismo.
you're missing out on the secondary sexual characteristic.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's tough, I know. I'm with you.
But the article is weird because essentially said machismo being the natural state of men, you know, like, in a way, like, being able to grow facial hair and, like, not shaving.
Like, left to our own devices, we'd be hairy and
smelly,
that kind of
thing? That's what we're supposed
to
be. We're supposed to be hairy as men. You know,
okay.
Like, it was essentially saying that. But then I started thinking about the implication always, which is, wait, so women aren't supposed to be hairy? That isn't a social invention?
Yeah,
but it is a social invention.
Yeah, it totally is.
But they're saying that they're implying that that's the natural way for women.
Is to be shaving everything.
Yeah. Or at least their body hair. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how MSN falls on pubic hair. They didn't really specify.
For
women. They weren't telling me if they wanted a landing strip or not. Yeah, but that was like that next thing that made me go, oh, am I just really not a man?
Yeah.
Am I not a man? The society is telling me that I don't like to see other men get beat up.
Well, it was on MSN. I don't know what to tell you.
I know.
Apparently you're not a man.
They're on the record. The national record there.
I don't know.
Masculinity is...
I could talk about shaving my chest all day, but I don't have anything for after the butt.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's really not much more to say. I don't understand. I don't understand why you would shave that beautiful,
I think it's weird
if you had it.
I think it's weird that they turn it into a masculinity thing, but it's really just, I think, a fashion thing.
Yeah, well, it's
you know, sometimes it's in fashion to be shaved, and then some guy like Burt Reynolds comes along, and you're like, holy shit, look at all that chest hair.
Look at all that chest hair.
All of a sudden, that's the trend, you know what I mean?
And that mustache.
It just
mustache.
Comes and goes.
Woo!
Oh, that was a hell of a mustache.
Well, the rugged man, it's always been a symbol of masculinity, though that's the problem, is that that's, in America at least. Well, no, even
not
like
American. The frontiersman kind of thing you're saying?
Frontiersman, like a cowboy.
Yeah.
Mustaches, beards, hunters, you know, that sort of thing. That's the symbol of masculinity in America.
It's one of them, yeah.
But do you think that it's been a dominant one, though. Like, I really, really feel like... Do you think we're, like,
but then
getting to a
there's
point?
There's, like, the Hollywood version, too, which is less that. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, it's always been less than that. But I feel like the Hollywood version is starting to wear off because most people are starting to realize that it's, like, not real or it's not attainable at all. Like, with every year in this country, more so.
What do you mean? What are we talking about?
As far as the Hollywood ideal of masculinity.
Okay. Unattainable, you mean like they're really in shape? Is that what you're trying to
really
say?
Really in shape.
And you're saying
their hair is always like nicely done, you know, but like
right.
The normal, like the average man, that isn't me or, you know, other people I know, they just walk into a barbershop and go, okay, cut it short.
True.
You know what I mean? Like that taking care of yourself has not been seen as masculine, or at least like styling yourself or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, and I think most of America would say that if they were put to a quiz.
Yeah.
Like, a quiz that didn't give them all the stuff that we've been talking about.
So what was the metrosexual thing? That was just a media invention? And it didn't really work for the common man?
Yeah, I think so.
I think
it was trying to make, you know, like, or at least make...
So if that was a media invention, then what's this new article? That's a media invention about the media invention?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Because that's what they said. It was stuff like American Hustle.
Yeah.
And all, like, the 70s
facial
hair. And also that new movie, Her, where, Joaquin Phoenix is in. He's got, like, a mustache going on.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they talk about the facial hair revolution that's been happening.
This seems all really arbitrary.
It does.
I think some people have facial hair and some people don't.
This is what they're telling us, Andy. And the messages they're sending to the world. And you know what?
I'm beginning to doubt the journalistic credentials of MSN.
Well, they've had a checkered past, you know. The Benghazi story, they slept on it.
It's true.
Slept on that. I wouldn't think...
They don't want us to know what really happened, is the problem.
They don't. If we know. I don't think about masculinity a ton. I just go about my life, you know, normally, and like, how I am is how I am.
You don't stop and think about every decision. Does this make me a man or not?
How does this affect
my cred?
But, like, it's been, like, lately I feel like I've had to, because it's like you start to have reminders and stuff has been happening in society that has been making one start to think about that sort of thing. And a couple of aspects.
Go on.
First of all, there's Facebook.
So
there's constant barrage, whether I want to have or not, of what other people are into and what they like. Literally, what they literally choose to like.
Isn't that funny, though? Like, no, I don't want to get into the whole Facebook thing. We'll save that for another podcast.
Yeah, it's what they do to us. It's not our fault that when we like something on Facebook, it makes us want everyone to see it, but that's what it does. And I'm pretty sure they do it purposefully to be like, oh, this guy will see this that person liked, but that guy will see that based on their algorithms and all that stuff like that. You know, he likes politics. So then I see political shit on there all the time that people are into, and it leads me down a dark hallway where I open the door at the end, and I'm forced to view, like, a party that I didn't want to see.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happens to me all the time. Lately, the thing that really caught my eye was... you know, someone liked something politically. I think it was about guns. It was about in Connecticut. They had to register. If you had over 10 round magazine in California, you had to register it if you wanted to, you know, not be a felon while they were appealing a law that would ban it.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So even like the gun groups in that state were telling everyone, you want to get out there and you want to register because you don't want to become a felon because, you know, we're going to fight this in court. We're going to try to turn it around. However, none of you need to be felons because you didn't follow the law. And you were like, so there was a line like that. They broke Godwin's rule immediately in the post. The post was, it looks like Weimar Germany. And I was like, oh my God, it's a line. So my response was like, oh no, a line? Yeah. Nazis loved lines. And just like how, you know, ridiculous, but you start reading it and they start calling the people that are there wusses and weak for registering all these other people, these armchair cowboys.
Uh-huh.
I say they'd be like, if this was in Kentucky, we'd be fighting them. And like, you know, they should all, you know, like stuff like that, which is easy to say when it's not there and you're not, you know, but also these people aren't smart, I don't think, because they're saying I should just become a felon rather than just...
Well, they're viewing it as civil disobedience, not so much civil.
Yeah,
less civil
at all. And they're not thinking it all the way through because it's
disobeying an unjust law.
Yeah, you're. It's not like you did a sit-in someplace, you know, like you legitimately like.
But that's how they see it. I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm all for civil disobedience, except it seems like the thing to me is it seems, you know, like it's so hyperbolic.
It is, yes.
To have civil disobedience over that. You know, it's like, oh man, I'm going to need those. You know, but then they'll say, if you say, oh, why do you need those extra rounds? They'll say, well, I don't, but it's my right. But it's like, well, no, the state determines what it's your right to have, but no, they can't determine. Whatever. So I start looking at this, and then I just can't help but look at the rest of the page, because I start to see these comments. Well, these people are crazy, and they have weird notions of the world, and it's
true. I had this same experience earlier today, but you sent me one of these things.
Yeah, so the thing that...
So I see one crazy thing on the page, and
then, you just got to see them all.
I think that can't be real.
Yeah.
I've got to see the rest of
this. But then you start looking at the comments, obviously, because that's where the juicy parts are, and you start going... Where it's anyone can talk on the internet, which is scary. Facebook has made it where anyone can talk on the internet in a one place, which is even scarier. Because it's not the comment section on YouTube or on a news site or something. This is like this thing that connects a good portion of us.
Yeah.
Millions of people. Billions?
Not
billions.
I don't keep track.
That's not a billion. Yeah, all the old people.
Well, China's not allowed on there, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Numbers. That's not a big smash.
That's a huge amount of people that I can't be on.
They are anyway.
The one thing that I saw...
I don't want to say anything bad about China.
Yeah, no, the Chinese people are good people, and...
I'm pretty sure they figured out how to get on Facebook, even if it's not legal.
Yeah. They learn these things. They're smart, because they're Asian.
Yes. Asians be smart.
Asians be smart most of the time. Oh, that was one of the things, though, that someone didn't pick was... something about...
Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to fill them in. Cards Against Humanity was like Asians who aren't good at math.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I think the other thing was them lining up outside of the abortion clinic or something like that.
Really?
Someone said Asians that aren't good at math. And I was like, that's the best answer for that. And then I didn't get picked. Something stupid. Because to go back on that game, I just got to go back on that. How irritating is it when you hear all of them and you go, one of them's like, oh, that one is just like, I would pick that in a heartbeat. And they go with something that you're like, but that was stupid. What you picked was stupid. It wasn't even good. It doesn't even make sense. When someone's sitting there going like, I don't know. I guess this one. It's like, you guess? Either way, back on topic.
Okay.
So the internet pisses us off because, especially Facebook,
because it exposes us to people who don't agree with us, and we hate that.
But not just people we don't agree with.
People who are crazy.
People that are crazy.
And crazy assholes.
Crazy assholes. Notions of the world that just you know exist.
Right.
You try not to remember exists, and then when you're faced with it, you're just like, it's like,
when you're confronted with it,
sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this thing was, at two pictures, okay?
Okay.
One, on one side, it was a Life magazine from August 14th, 1944, and it showed a soldier.
What was going on in 1944?
I believe it was World War II.
Generation. I've heard of that.
Yeah. When men were men.
Men were men.
And that's what they're saying, is they're saying that this guy was American Symbols of Manhood.
Okay.
And he's on the left side. G.I. Joe, they call him. The right side is a young man who is holding a hot cocoa in his hands in red flannel onesie pajamas.
Really?
Glasses. He looks pretty Jewish. And I found out later he is. He's actually the spokesman for the Obamacare, trying to get people to talk about healthcare, especially young people.
He's a spokesman, or he was a model in one particular ad?
He was a model in the ad. I believe the company was called, what was it? Something for America.
Couldn't tell you.
OFA was the name of the group.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that too. Yeah, no shame.
Yeah. So it's him looking to the side, kind of smug, I'd say. Definitely a smug look on his face.
It's not smug, he's something.
He's something. It's something.
Smug will work for now.
I guess smug is what you bring to the table when you're looking at this picture. But it's a picture of him looking off to the side, and it basically says, American Symbols of Manhood, from G.I. Joe to Pajama Boy in just a few generations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that guy just looks like a dude that you just see anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. But everyone else that likes this page, which is called 100% Fed Up,
uh-huh.
I think the Fed is there for a reason. I think they're against the federal government.
How about that?
Because it's all capitalized. And I don't think it's for... It could be to try to be like, we're fed up, but think they're saying something.
Okay.
Either way, everyone there basically said that the guy on the right's gay. That he's not a man. That he's not masculine at all.
He's a wuss.
He's a sissy. Let's see. 9 sons and not 1 pajama boy. That was Faye. She was really happy. I don't know. I prefer the first picture. That girl just doesn't care. She's like, oh, no, I guess I like it.
That's like the yes, yes, no.
Yeah.
You ever seen that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So she's a yes, no?
Yeah, she's a yes, no. Basically, they're saying that it's stripping men of masculinity by being the guy on the right who has been dubbed by the internet as specifically the conservative section of the internet, pajama boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, everything is just weird when you read it. I mean, it's like, you go back and they really start calling this guy, like, everything. They say he lives at home with his parents.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have a job. Calling men pansies. Oh, Obama's a pansy.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah. Pussification of so many American males is sad. It's made them docile. Immaculate populist when you're trying to control everything. It's really sad. Pajama Boy is sad that he exists. That's how these people think of it. I saw this and I just went, I'm essentially Pajama Boy to these people.
Yeah.
I would be that.
I think that's probably accurate.
And, fuck them.
You are wearing flannel.
I am wearing flannel. It's true. It's not a onesie, though. No cocoa on my hands. My look is not that look.
No.
And I'm also not
You're not
Jewish.
Looking that smug.
That's the other thing. Is it the glasses that make him not masculine?
It's the onesie.
Is it?
The way he's cupping the cocoa is
a
little
the way he's cupping
effeminate.
The cocoa too, yeah.
Even effeminate's too strong a word, though. It's just a little, like, comfy. You know what I mean?
It's comfy.
He's not holding a rifle.
he's very cozy. He's very cozy. And one guy says, strong, determined men still exist. It's the mass news media that has changed and refuses to show those strong, determined men. Now, that's fucked up, too, because the assumption is that guy looks that way, not really effeminate, but not, like, the image of John Wayne or, like, a soldier.
Uh-huh.
And he's not determined or strong.
Yeah.
Physically, or I'm assuming they're basically saying also of will, of strong will. Is what I got a lot of people saying, and so Andy, that's what makes me think that I'm a little bit less of a man for not liking sports and for not wanting to see other people get beat up. Because these people here, when you start going through their likes, which I actually did,
okay,
you start going through. That's what they're. It's all sports, UFC, fighting, MMA, like. Action movies, like guy stuff, like even the women, they're into the guy stuff, and you start going, well, what's wrong with me?
Well, nothing.
Well, I know that. I mean, and really, you start reading some of the things, and you start going, well, I'm better than that asshole.
Yeah.
Like, not in a way like I'm actually better than them, because they probably own homes and property. You know, things like that, like the normal human beings. Well, normal societal 2013 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm better than them in that I'm at least don't, like, bring this to the table where it's like, well, that person's a man, that person's not a man, that person's... Like, to them, gay people are totally not men.
Sure.
At all. And lesbians are men. And also, that's the other... But I've encountered this my entire life, Andy.
Uh-huh.
My entire life. I'm smaller than most people, most men.
Uh-huh.
And in both my height and also just my size. And
you're people... talking about your penis again?
Yeah. I'm smaller than most now. Actually, relatively. No, I'm just kidding. But my whole life being, like, looking, like, just being smaller, people automatically think you're, like, gay. Or like less than, like even like when my pants weren't as tight. You know what I mean? Like that's like shorts in the summer. It's just because I'm small. It's like other men who are like in that like chauvinistic this mentality of these people that are talking on here about Pajama Boy. They automatically see that and be like, think negatively about me, negatively, and like they look negatively at people that aren't as manly as they would like them to be. So I don't know, Andy. What do you think? Am I all man, or am I, do I need to man up? Am I a little bit too pajama boy for this world?
Not at all. I would not have,
Well, neither are you, Andy.
That would not have come to mind if I was asked
you're
to describe
not pajama
Joshua
boy.
Richard.
See, that's the funny thing about you, Andy.
What's
and
that?
People don't know that Andy's a giant.
Some people do.
Some people do, but not everyone here knows. And, but Andy is not the masculine that these guys are talking about as far as, like, mentality goes. Like, you could pass for it, okay?
Oh,
if
I
you would have put the clothes
I could go
on,
undercover as
you
these
could,
guys.
If you would have put the clothes on, like, the camo shirt, like, hunting gear, okay, and throw on the hat. And
what about the Affliction t-shirt? Can I do that?
Affliction t-shirts? Well, that's what I wonder. Do these people like Affliction t-shirts? Or are they, like...
Or is that too, like...
That's too Guido-ish?
Too busy?
Yeah. They still hate Guidos. They hate Italians.
They do?
No. I'm assuming... They hate foreigners.
So we're talking about Southerners now, basically.
That's Southerners. Yeah. Sorry, Chad.
Sorry, Chad. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. You're a good guy. But, yeah, it's Southerners. But especially when you start looking at it, Southerners and Midwest. It's like Illinois. It's all of that.
The red states, if you will.
The red states. That mentality. Now, the only thing that really makes me feel better is I know that eventually, if things continue the way they are continuing, that will go away. Like, that mentality will go away. That young people are just becoming much smarter.
Yes.
And accepting.
I was thinking
children.
About that earlier today.
Was the pajama boy that made you think?
No, actually, it was the... I don't want to jump off of pajama boy if you have more to say about it.
What can you say?
Yeah.
About,
yeah. But I was thinking about the Phil Robertson thing.
Okay.
So, what I was thinking was, there's a part of me that doesn't want to defend him, but wants to kind of just kind of wave it off and say,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've heard people say some variation of that all my life. Some people I know and respect, even.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was thinking, well, you know, all we can really hope is that, you know, like you were saying, the society grows. Kids don't come into the world with these preconceptions that gay people are bad and sinful.
Well, that's the hope. I mean, it's worked for, like, Catholics. Like, a lot of the Catholics, as far as Christians go, they're the largest percentage to start to not think that gays are evil and, like, bleed green blood or whatever. Because Spock is gay, obviously. No, that's stoked.
That's true.
It's straight.
Catholics generally don't believe that AIDS was a plague sent to strike down the gays.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, Catholics are a lot it's weird to say it, but they're more open-minded than other Christian faiths when it comes to that. On
Back
the
when
whole,
I was, when I felt like a Catholic, I thought it was unfair that they were seen as the more
and I think a
conservative
lot of us did.
Group when they're really the most liberal of the Christian. Well, not the most.
But yeah. But no,
they're on the liberal side of Christianity.
They're on the liberal side of Christianity when it comes to the actual populace. Maybe
especially
not
with regards to the poor.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Less so with regards to women and gender and
yes.
sex.
Yes, all of that's all of those.
That's where the whole impression comes from, is because
yeah,
like
oh, yeah, definitely.
That, so.
Only women are allowed to do this. You can't
yeah.
get married with your priest. You know, it's like, yeah.
You can't marry a priest? Is that what you said?
You can't marry a priest.
What?
He can't marry anyone. Guy or girl.
Shameful.
No, that's true. I think that's going to happen, although what scares me is the backlash that's happening. Like, they're starting to have a bigger voice, these people, because of the internet. So they're getting their hit, and they're starting to band together and go, no, we are, you know, like, they're starting to collectively come together and say, this is the way of life that we want to preserve.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it, though, that they're seeing that things are moving away from their point of view, so they hold on more tightly and get more loud and angry about it.
They're traditional, and they're conservatives. So
yeah.
It's in the name, you know. They're trying to keep it there. Progressive know that progress is happening, and they're like, yeah, let's do that. Equal rights for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the ones that we can obviously agree with them on, about, like, pedophiles and murderers. But wait. Oh, wait, Andy.
What?
Pedophiles and murderers still have a place in society.
They do.
Even to conservatives.
Is
Why?
That right? Why?
Well, first of all, they glorify violence and self-defense modes. Like, they really, a lot of these people would be like, if you come in my house, I want to shoot you.
Yeah.
Like, they would like to be able to shoot their gun at another human being in defense of their house and their way of life.
That's, you really hit on something that I haven't been able to put words to, and that's that they they want this to happen.
I see. I look at these comments all the time, Andy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna admit something. The time I used to spend jerking off the porn all the time,
uh-huh.
now gets spent between obsessively looking for new music, which uh-huh. I've always done, but now it's like more.
Okay.
Okay. And reading comments on stuff like The Blaze.
What's that?
That's Glenn Beck's website. News oh. site. Glenn Beck's news site.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, you can imagine how that is.
Oh, God.
Or, like, that's National horrible. Review.
Yeah.
Or Daily Caller. Or any of those.
Drudge like, Report.
Well, Drudge Report, well, they link to other oh. sites. But they link to all the sites that I just talked about.
Right.
So, yeah. That's where it started. It started looking at Drudge Report. Because once Drudge Report links to an
right.
article,
the
then
comments
all
go
those
crazy,
people flood
right.
there, and they just blah blah blah. You know, yeah. So I've read so many of these, and yeah. I've seen the comments where people actually are like, "I want," you know, or they say like, "Oh, let them come in my house." I'm looking to try.
Yeah.
And some of it gets racist sometimes when they talk about.
Sometimes.
Well, a lot of them, I think, realize that they should hold back and they don't
oh,
let it out.
Okay. Some don't voice it.
Some
don't make it a concrete
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. And okay. every now and then you see a sly joke, like
yeah.
something, and you're like, oh, you motherfucking racist. Like, you know, you're not being the idiot over here is like, you know, Obama's a black Muslim, who's,
right.
but you're still like, you're a racist piece of shit. But you mm-hmm. just know that you can't totally let it out because it's not acceptable on the internet to totally do that.
Right. There's some anonymity.
Yeah, you have to be a certain way, and more intelligent
pronounce that word.
More intelligent people know that, even though some more intelligent people are racist, which is really disheartening that intelligent people are racist. You know, like how do they get to that point where they haven't actually used their brain to go? Oh,
how do you
yeah.
get an education and not?
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
Well, it's because the way they look at the world. But
yeah.
so they would like to kill. Okay, and let's be honest. Okay, I'm not going to say soldiers are murderers, but soldiers kill. And the soldier in the red states is revered, like, you know, like put on a pedestal that is even more, you know, for the obvious things that they do, but also the killing of the enemy, whoever the enemy is that they're supposed to be fighting, that is revered. The pacifist that I am is like, well, why are we, what enemies are we killing in 2013? You know, why are we killing? Oh, we went there to kill them? Well, why is that okay? You know, like, why are we going to other places to kill people? But, you know, for them, that's revered. Also, pedophiles. You said Phil Robertson. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying he is a pedophile.
Okay.
I don't really think he is. But did you see the other news story that came out about him?
The more recent one.
The more recent one? Now that they're just digging everything up on him?
Yeah, okay. No. Well, I did see it, but why don't you tell
okay.
the listeners about it?
Well, Phil Robertson, he has learned the secret of life and marriage and love.
Oh, yeah?
And he's
Does he
giving...
ever go to bed angry?
No, he didn't say that. But you know what? It's okay. You never go to bed angry because your woman's in line.
she can go to bed however she wants.
She can go to bed however she wants. He ain't going to bed angry. He's going to pass out drunk before that happens.
Oh, boy.
No, but Phil,
right.
no, Phil actually did clean up. So I shouldn't
yes.
make a joke about that because
yes.
he found God. So this video that they found of him... is him speaking at a sportsman's sermon, or I believe it was.
It was a religious group of some sort.
Religious retreat for hunters, obviously, sportsmen
okay.
like himself. And he basically went out there and said, I can get the actual quote.
But no one say we're not prepared.
Yes, okay. So he tells a young man how to find a good Christian girl.
Uh-huh.
First of all, make sure that she can cook a meal. You need to eat some meals that she cooks. Check that out. Make sure she carries your Bible. That'll save you a lot of trouble down the road.
All right, that's
it's true.
Not something I would say to anybody, and not something I particularly care about, but not totally.
The
offensive.
Part that I have a problem with, though, is that like, well, we'll get to the end, and then we'll examine
okay.
right. why I have a problem with this.
So
okay.
I'll keep my stupid mouth shut, is what
yeah.
you're trying to say. Right.
So then it goes on to say. They got to where they're getting hard to find, mainly because these boys are waiting till they get to be about 20 years old before they marry them. Look, you wait till they get to be 20 years old, the only picking that's going to take place is your pocket. You got to marry these girls when they're about 15 or 16. They'll pick your ducks. And he goes on to say that you should ask the parents for that jokingly, you know, like, get parental consent to marry a 15 or 16 year old.
Because that's the only way it would possibly
happen. That's the only way it could actually happen.
Okay.
You gotta get them to sign custody over your new little toy.
Ew. Oh, you just keep
you know,
that
you know,
so bad.
You know what I had in my head when I said that, though?
What?
I had three people. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Demented.
Yeah.
Elvis.
Uh-huh.
Because he must have got that tip from Jerry Lee Lewis.
Probably did.
Because he knew him before. Yeah, dude, you got to just get the parents to sign her over. And then Ted Nugent, who is like super...
So, yeah.
And he married a young girl, did like 15, got the parents to give him custody.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Ted Nugent, the guy that is a hero to all these people.
Yeah.
Okay? So, pedophiles, totally accepted.
Were you ready for one to blow your mind?
Yes.
R. Kelly.
Blow it. R. Kelly. Did
the
you read
opposite
that recently?
Of Ted Nugent.
The opposite
I did
of
read
Ted
that
Nugent.
Recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did
not
realize.
Celebrated. He is not celebrated in their community.
No.
Yeah, I didn't realize he targeted that for like... Probably still now.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought that.
We'll stick with Phil Robertson for now.
We'll crucify him another day. It's too easy. Because he sings about it. He sings about sex. And you know it's with 15-year-old girls.
Well, that's what's amazing about it.
Okay, yeah, we'll
like, how can you listen to his music the same way once you have
you
that in your head?
You can't. It actually happened. Like, the only song I can is Ignition because it's like, that's more like a... party after a club thing.
Yeah.
But it seems like everyone in that song has to be 21 or over.
Okay.
When you listen to Ignition Remix, it seems like it's one of those things where it's like everyone's old enough.
Uh-huh.
Because
as we all know, underage people never,
ever
manage
to
get into clubs.
I don't think he was banging these chicks, they should call them chicks, he wasn't banging these girls.
These children.
In like a clubs or shit like that, or
right.
like an after parties.
Right.
He was like, you know, this was a special day.
Yeah.
He was making a day out of this.
Oh, boy
is right. Phil on the surface, okay, what it's saying is, first of all, he's saying, to get back to that first part that I was going to
uh-huh.
comment about, so we are to expect that these 15-year-old girls have learned how to cook.
Right.
And they've become proficient enough that you should be tasting their meals, like, which is also kind of crazy.
Well, how else are they going to get a man if their mom didn't teach them how to cook?
Oh, how's the guy going to eat?
That's
if,
true.
If the woman can't cook?
Well, he's not going to cook for himself. He's out shooting ducks. And
I know, right?
Producing
just, but that
the
part,
tools used.
That part took
that.
Me already as sexist, but that's the way these people think, is that women cook meals and they
you,
do
yeah,
these
you can
things.
Almost say it's a cultural thing and that we shouldn't
yeah,
judge,
but, it,
but
at
not really.
At this point, unfortunately for Phil Robertson, feminism has left its indelible mark on this society, and men should be able to cook as well for themselves. Now, plus also when you take into account that as far as an industry goes, fine dining and cooking is male dominated.
That's true.
So it's insane. It's insane to have.
It's actually a sexist industry.
It's a sexist industry.
Believe it or not.
But yet. In the home, you're the only
yeah,
one cooking.
Right.
So you gotta cook your meals. Now,
that's interesting when you put it like that. All right. So
yeah,
anyway,
I've thought about that a lot.
That's
but,
very interesting. I like it.
Now, when he said you can't wait till they get to be 20.
No.
Now the backstory is he was 20. He married his wife who was 15.
Right.
Okay. Got her permission. All that stuff.
Got her parents'
now,
permission.
Got her parents' permission. I'm sure he got her permission too. Maybe I don't.
Hopefully.
Know.
Hopefully. We all hope he did.
So. And he's advising people that you shouldn't wait till 20 because then they'll be gold diggers and they want your money. Now,
yeah,
not
I didn't pick up on that until I heard you read it out loud.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that's what he was saying.
And when
but
he says they'll
what...
pick your ducks, he doesn't mean you're not sexual. Like, they're not going to pick your ducks, you know? Quack, 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 quack,
quack,
quack,
quack, Mr.
That's
Duxford.
The sound of his...
The blowjob? What
that's
were
the
you
sound...
calling?
That was like a hand job, but his dick's a duck. For this purpose.
What does they'll pick your ducks mean?
I think it means like picking the feathers and all that stuff. And
oh.
Preparing them. So they need to be able to process ducks too.
They could also be fetching the ducks like an animal. Because they're a servant or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
They could be. I don't know what Phil was looking for here. And that's
well, let's just assume
people
the worst.
Are speculating. What does he mean? Does he mean marry young? Does he say that you should, that grown men should marry women? Or that there's no context?
Right.
Now I saw it on the Blaze. And there's more people than not defending him.
Yeah.
Saying, And they're saying he's been married for like 30 plus years.
Right.
His wife, I read an interview where his wife said, you know, after he was became Christian, was like, well, you still want to be, and he's like, well, I was with you when you were poor and angry, and, you know, and now, so why would I leave you now? And
uh-huh.
It was like, well, of course not. He's trained her since the age of 15 to be, what else does she know? What else does she know?
Well, I was not going to put that on the guy.
Well, I'm just saying, like, but I'm just, that's the advice that he's giving. Marry 15-year-olds. And he said, by his own example, he's saying you can be within 20, you know, like 5 years to a 15-year-old. If 5 years is okay, except not when they're...
Saying that 20 is too old, that's terrifying.
To marry someone under 16...
I mean, that's terrifying in its own way, but to say, like, by the time they've gotten to 20, what's happened? They're ruined? I don't understand what
you're saying. Yes, they've been ruined by society and life. They know things about the world, and they want money, is what he's saying. It's crazy. He's saying that their innocence gets lost by the time they're 20, so you should marry them when they're still innocent, and then just take it from them.
But by his own admission, he was not a good person until when? When did he get married?
I didn't catch the actual.
But presumably, it wasn't until he was like 30 or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so she was around for a while.
So he was a carouser the whole
yep.
first 10 years of their marriage,
yep.
presumably.
He probably thought she had a nice tight ass. I don't know. I've never seen his wife because I've seen the show. Am I honestly, from what people can tell, I'm not a fan of this guy. His comments about homosexuals to me were just like, yes, it was his right, religious right, but. You're still an asshole, like,
right.
for thinking that. Even if that's your religious right, you're still a jerk.
Yeah.
So for the moment the show started hitting, well, first of all, I'm a contrarian, so when things get really popular.
Yeah.
But also, when I did click in, I went, oh, so it's just one of those reality shows where people fake act like themselves?
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's these stupid situations. Hey, we're going to go do this today. Oh, that's cool.
Right, contrived stories,
storylines. But I've never seen his wife.
Okay.
She could be beautiful, she could be gorgeous. She'd probably... I don't know.
I think the problem I have here is I just cannot imagine the mentality that says a 15-year-old is ready to get married.
Well,
like, I didn't know shit when I was 15. I didn't know shit when I was 20.
She was 16, sorry. She was 16.
Okay.
But yeah. He met her when she was 15.
Right.
Yeah.
But how is that an adult?
It's not.
I don't know.
But so, here's where I'm getting at with all of this. He's a symbol of masculinity to a huge portion of the population.
Yeah, I guess that's
he's
true.
He's a hunter.
Yeah.
He's got a huge beard. He's a man's yes. man. Like,
right.
if you watch the show, they act like the men. So, but yet, he hates, other. He doesn't like gays. Like, if he was around gays, he would be uncomfortable. I don't think he'd be comfortable around gay people.
Okay.
And he married...
A child.
And that's okay. And it's celebrated. And yet, he thinks that all these other people are going to be going to hell and not inherit the kingdom of God. Even though that he... So where... What... As society, like... What are we doing? What are we doing wrong? Where, like, most of the population is jumping to, like, defend this guy.
I don't think it's most of the population, do you?
From what I've read...
I think it's a very vocal minority. That's my opinion.
I think it's pretty even in this country.
Yeah?
I think they are the 47%, is what I think. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like when, you know, they... I think that the people that are okay...
But then,
with...
isn't that a good example? Because the 47% doesn't really exist because it's mostly, you know, the elderly...
Yes, but I actually think it is 47%.
Okay.
I really think it is 47%. Because the elderly have this mentality, too. Because they're old, and they come from different times. So gays are scared to them.
True.
Because they didn't exist, or they were not in the capacity that they do now.
And, yeah...
Like, Fridia wasn't twerking on Fuse. It's a show, by the way. I don't know if you've seen this show, but check it out. Check it out, everyone. Thank me later.
And I kind of, you know, I said this earlier, that I've heard versions of his comments from all kinds of people.
Yeah.
In my life.
In your life.
like people I know and I'm still friends with or are in my family or whatever, you know.
It's just really sad, Andy, because it there's so the way that we should be looking at it is everyone is different. A man is a man regardless of whether or not he adheres to a certain idealized masculinity among a certain part of the population.
A certain image of it.
Yeah, a certain image of it. But there's good men and there's bad men in all of it. And it doesn't matter. And it should be based on your deeds. And it should be based on the things you say and your thoughts. Like, obviously, I say a lot of bad things. But I think generally, like I'm a good person. Just say I have that aristocrat's mentality. Or I do want to kind of say outrageous stuff.
Yeah.
But are we to consider him not a good person?
Well, I don't know. Like, are you turning it back around on us now?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's just different. Who are we to judge?
Well, there's that too. I mean, I'm talking about like how masculinity shouldn't be that, and these people are idiots for saying like about Pajama Boy this, and yet you know, revering a guy like this.
Right.
But am I to be wrong for thinking like, no, you guys, is that whole thing that always gets said when you call people out on intolerance, you're being intolerant of my intolerance of my intolerance.
Yeah, right.
Is there some validity to that?
I don't know, maybe. Okay. Sorry, I really went down on that one.
No, I mean, Andy, don't ever apologize. Yeah, these are things I wonder. These are things I wonder while I sit in my onesie.
Yeah.
And I you sip your my cocoa.
Talking about a bottle.
I put my glasses on and my frowy wig.
You're too frowy.
These guys got to see it. Check out the picture. I'm not lying. This is what the guy looks like. Like it's sad because it's like, you know, I am intolerant. And well, not so much intolerant, but it's like you can tell. Like as soon as I saw that picture, I'm like, is that guy Jewish too?
Yeah.
Like, is he like a Jewish hipster living in Brooklyn? Like, that's what my picture. And then I was like, oh, he's a Jewish hipster living in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, weird. Got it.
Did we point that out, that we both read it as Jewish hipster, whereas everyone else sees it as feminine guy who lives with his parents?
Yeah.
And contributes nothing to society?
Yeah, it contributes nothing to society. I'm like, that guy owns a company, or at least he, like, works for, like, the type of company that I would want to work for, because it's pretty cool,
right?
And they like go out for happy hour and then go back to the office and like, you know, spin around on a wiffle ball bat and think of ideas. That was a wacky example of what people do after they're having fun.
I was with you up to the wiffle ball bat.
You know, running in circles.
Yeah, and
you
gotta the run. Dizzy thing.
Yeah, the dizzy thing. I don't know, Andy. It's been a long time.
Since you worked for one of those companies.
Yeah. I don't know what they do these days. Since I cleaned up after them at night. That's what I'm probably going to end up doing in New York. I'm going to be that guy.
You wish.
I wish. You're right. Because from what I hear, in America, the America that I know, you could start out as a janitor.
Right.
And work your way up to CEO.
Well, you could until the immigrants took all our jobs.
Until the immigrants took all our jobs. And the prerequisite for anything was going and spending $100,000.
What?
School.
Oh, right.
Maybe not $100,000, but actually, no, now.
I think, $100,000 is low now.
Yeah. But that's for another day, Andy.
All right.
The educational
system. We'll solve that one.
We'll solve that. Now, if any of you have any thoughts about masculinity, if you want to just call me a fag on Twitter,
please do.
Do what you can. I enjoy the challenge. just if you have one of the eggs, as like a picture though, just don't bother. Because I mean, like that's just if you can't even put your own picture up to let me go after you, then do you have an egg, Andy?
Right? I do.
You have a different egg.
Yeah.
You have an actual stylized egg.
I do. I have Yoshi's egg.
See, that's beautiful. That's actually good.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think it's great. See, that's what makes Andy a man. He uses his brain. Which is really what this is all about. So, Andy, I guess we'll have to call this.
We'll call it a draw.
Call it a draw. We don't know what a man is. I couldn't pick one out in a lineup if I saw one.
Usually it's the one with the penis.
That's racist, Andy.
I'm sorry.
Or something.
Actually, no, it is. It's gender normative, or that's not the word I'm looking for. But I am being transist.
You are being a transist, you bastard.
I know.
Penises, boobs, you can have any combination of the...
Your gender identity is not dependent on your physical attributes.
Yeah, and we don't care. We don't care.
But Andy, do what you gotta do.
Andy does, because he judges.
Yeah, I do.
So, yeah, hit me up on Twitter. It's at Joshua J. Richard. Andy is at Drewsef. That's Drew, D-R-E-W-S-E-F.
20.
20. Or you can just, shout out the entire podcast and the internet. Richer
and
Mailman. So, do that. And, maybe next time we can talk about your questions on the air, or we can read some of the funny comments you make at trying to let me know how not masculine I am because I didn't fight in World War II. So, we'll see you next time. A little anticlimactic as usual.
Yeah. But someday we'll figure out how to end a podcast. Just like that.
Born like this, into this. As the chalk faces smile. As Mrs. Death laughs. As political landscapes dissolve. As the oily fish spit out their oily prey. We are born like this, into this. Into hospitals which are so expensive that it's cheaper to die. Into lawyers who charge so much it's cheaper to plead guilty. Into a country where the jails are full and the madhouses closed. Into a place where the masses elevate fools into rich heroes. Born into this, walking and living through this, dying because of this, castrated, debauched, disinherited because of this. The fingers reach toward an unresponsive God. The fingers reach for the bottle, the pill, the powder. We are born into the sorrowful deadliness. There will be open and unpunished murder in the streets. It will be guns and roving mobs. Land will be useless. Food will become a diminishing return. Nuclear power will be taken over by the many. Explosions will continually shake the earth. Radiated men will eat the flesh of radiated men. The rotting bodies of men and animals stink in the dark wind. And there will be the most beautiful silence never heard. Born out of that. The sun hidden there, awaiting the next chapter.
From the realm of alkaloon, smelly gel fumes, separating cell womb to melly mel boom, revelations in braille, respiration inhale, view nations fail and shaking of a snake tail, make do, blazing swords, trays the haze, praise the Lord, saving grace, lace your broad, she says she bored, a crazy straw, ink and steel, dry paraffin, candy corn, crap rappers pale by comparison. A bad Samaritan averaging above average men. Rants and rants having rambling savages scavenging. For scraps, perhaps roadkill. If that, gift a gab. Any flow, ill chrome stiff hat. Note for writing lightning tight lines. Chief and beefing, being off deep ends divine. Bright shines even. Dimes quiet as minds by design. Mighty fine. Slight rewind, tightly bind. Blind lead blind. Need minds now, that was this is then. Listening to sizzling. Official tense whispering him again. Metal face finster, playing with the dirty money. Sinister, don't know what he's saying, but the words be funny. Major vet, spaded through the vest with a bayonet. Save your breath, gave a F, pay your debt, they forget. Make a sweat, bullets, crime pays no benefits. Then it gets wilder with more childish and degenerates.
These are years ago, Moses said, every human being is responsible for his action, or that being is still a beast, not yet human.
Yodel at your uncle flows my motorcycle trunkfuls. From 2-1-2-1, loose crumbs to chunks and bundles. Hands down, better than what your mans used to get. Standing around for weather translucent, lucid spit. Missing wheel, you don't listen, you a field head. Sitting in the kitchen, pissing, twitching, kissing, steel lead. Crime pays no dental, nor medical. Unless you catch retirement, county, state, or federal. You heard like roaring waters in a seashell. If a tree fell, you couldn't tell from three cell. Be real careful, they telling by the airful. Kids doing skid bids, acting out is terrible. Word is bond, fix your clothes, put a shirt on. Pants sagging back when used to meant you had a skirt on. Squirts posing as thuggers and hustlers. El Elo closer than y'all's ball huggers and jugglers. Motherfuckers.
Doom is transmitting a message to you.
Super fools!